All right, we're recording now. Good evening, this is Monday, look at the sheet here, April the 24th, Monday, April the 24th, 2017. This is Bible 4320 Senior Bible Seminar. I have in the virtual classroom, they have Tracy Keaton, Laura Combs, and Sharon Rookmore Smith. Let me record that before I forget. All right, let me begin with some prayer requests. Sharon's mic is muted, and I don't see video, but that she may be listening. I mentioned last week to be praying for Sharon, and we want to continue praying for Sharon as she's had some health difficulties, has had to postpone a surgery in order to try to get things done. She wants to get done with the semester. If I understand things correctly, she has a real big desire to get things done with her academic work before she has her surgery. And so we want to pray for her while she deals with the loss of the apartment with the fire last week and dealing with her health situation. She's starting to get things put together in terms of place to stay, computer, bunch of that stuff, but we want to continue to be praying for her. Also, another prayer request that I would bring before you, a lot of you know Jean-Claude Saint-Just because you've worked with him in registration, a lot of you in the Flex program. He's kind of your go-to guy. His wife is on bed rest, and she's at the hospital and will probably be at the hospital for the next couple, 3 weeks. She is pregnant, and it's been a difficult pregnancy, and she's there. She's there. They expect the baby to be premature. They're planning on premature delivery. They're at that point where they're trying to make sure, with each passing day, obviously the baby gets stronger. To try to keep things going for another 2-3 weeks to maximize maximize the viability of the baby upon birth. And so we want to be in prayer for Jean-Claude and his wife and their son. They have a son that's fifth grade. And I was talking to Jean-Claude earlier this afternoon. Jace, the son, is stepping up to the plate. He loves cooking. He loves cooking. And so he is with supervision, with some adult supervision, has kind of taken over some of the cooking chores and is pitching in with the laundry. And so we can be thankful that Jean-Claude, that hasn't had all that, to deal with. So we want to pray for Jean-Claude, his wife, Danique, and for Jace, their son. And then obviously their unborn child, and it escapes me whether the unborn child is a boy or girl. A couple days ago, I would have known that, but not tonight. Prayer request that you might have. Oh, Robin, it's good to see you. Good to see you.
Hello.
Any prayer requests that you all might have?
I'm in a process of getting a home. Just want everything to continue to go smoothly and that I continue to finish strong in class.
Okay, you're in the process of getting, did you say a home?
Buying a house for me and the boys. Yep, buying a house for me and the boys.
Okay, great, great. We'll definitely be praying about that. All right, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for this evening. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to be together to listen to Tracy, to listen to her presentation. We pray that you would bless her, bless the fruit of her labor and her research. May she be able to present things clearly, the things that she intends to share with us. May she be able to articulate that well. We pray that the technology that we can navigate that well this evening to maximize her presentation. Father, we come to this time with cares, concerns that we would bring to you. We first would ask that you would continue to be with Sharon as she is battling, it seems, life on many fronts. We praise you and we thank you for keeping her and those she loves and those around her safe during the fire. We thank you for the ways that you have provided for her to this point. And we would ask that you be with her as she continues the process of getting settled, getting everything fixed, getting things restored. And we would pray then that you would be with her as she seeks to finish up here over these next 2-3 weeks. We would pray that you just give her the ability to get to the end of the semester, actually be a little bit longer than 3 weeks as she's in a Flex 3 class. We pray that you would give her health, improved health during this time. I know that she really, really wants to finish strongly with her academics and has delayed some surgery. And so we would pray that you keep her well, that you would stabilize her health. May this even be a time in which her health improves. I know there's been some medication switches, and I pray that would go well. And just help her to get to the finish line and keep her safe. Be who you are to her, and may she see your provision. Father, you are the one who has all the resources in the world at your disposal. We would pray that you would provide for Sharon and those that she loves in a very special way during what has been a difficult time and what may yet still be difficult days ahead. We lift up to you Tracy and her boys as they're working on getting a house. I pray that you would remove any obstacles. I pray that you would direct Tracy to the best people to help her, and the best people that can help her would be directed to her, and that they would soon have a home that they can call their own, and have the joy of that as part of their life. We pray, as we pray for Sharon, that you would be the source of every provision for Tracy, that you would provide for her as you have to this point, as she has trusted you through many circumstances that have been adverse, but you have seen her through, and we know and we trust that you will be with her in this next stage of her life, in this next phase and season of life. And so we ask that you would be with her, provide for her, give her discernment, and give her wisdom as she makes decisions along the way in the coming days. We thank you for your watch care over us that brings us to this night. And again, we thank you that we simply thank you that we can be here, that we can share together. And we ask your blessing upon Tracy. I'd be remiss if I didn't pray for Jean-Claude and his wife and their son, Jace, during this time. I pray that you'd be with Jean-Claude's wife, strengthen her, be with the medical team that is attending to her. May they act with the greatest of skill and discernment and wisdom. I pray that you'd protect the unborn life, the unborn child that is in her womb. May the child get stronger with each passing day. And may Danique be able to carry her, to carry the child to term, or at least be able to carry the child to the point where the doctors feel confident about viability after birth. I pray that you'd be with little Jace, that he would be a support to Daddy and to Mom during this time. Father, we know that children present their own challenges, and fifth grade boys present a set of challenges all their own. And I pray that during this time the rambunctiousness that often comes with the pre-adolescent male might be curbed a little bit, and Jean-Claude would be able to attend to the things that he needs to attend to. I thank you. I praise you that Jakes has been very supportive and very helpful to Dad over the past 72 hours. And I pray that would continue, that he would continue to be a support to his parents during this time. We thank you. We praise you for your presence with us tonight. And these things we pray in your son's name. Amen. All right. Let me give one last check here to see who I've got. Okay, you got Robin. Not sure. No new people have joined us tonight. All right. Tracy, if you wanna take command of the class, okay, we're for the rest of you, we are turning things over to Tracy. She's going to go in, and hopefully we're going to see in a moment, see her screen at her place. And if this goes well, then those of you who will also be doing it. We'll see how it works.
Okay. Well, right now, so I can't share until you give me the rights to share.
Okay, so that was what Mr. Hardy thought, but then Mr. Martin thought that we didn't have to do that. So we're going to go back to the first plan. Okay, so I'm going to work my way down. Here we are. I don't want to mute you. I want to do more. Okay, I'm making you the host.
Okay, let me click on share screen.
You got it.
Okay, yes. Can you see my screen?
Not yet.
Dr. Halen, you may need to unshare yours first.
Oh, okay. That would make sense. All right. Still are not seeing her screen.
I clicked on share screen and I clicked yes.
There.
Let me click on my PowerPoint.
There we go. We got it. Okay. Yes.
Now, Tracy.
Yes.
Yeah. Good point.
The share screen dialog came up. Did you choose just the PowerPoint, or did you choose the one in the top left?
I chose one that was in the dial-up in the inside the box.
The one that had just your PowerPoint on it?
Yes.
Okay, that probably won't show your videos then.
You want me to try the video and see what happens? Or no?
No, go ahead and stop sharing real quick.
Okay, let me... Do I pause sharing?
No, stop sharing. It'll be...
okay, I stopped. I clicked on stop share. Okay.
Okay, now share again.
Okay, share. I did that.
Okay, now you see the window that has all the different options on it? The one in the top left.
Yes, I see that.
Should be your full desktop.
It says desktop.
Yep, share that one, please.
So that's the one I just clicked on.
Okay, then that one should share your videos.
Okay. Can everybody see my screen?
Yes.
Okay. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. And those online?
Yes. Yes.
All right. Thank you. Sorry about that. Okay. I'm ready to get started. How you guys are doing? My audience is for teenagers, so please don't feel like I'm, you know, like talking to you like you're kids or anything like that. So these are for teenagers. I have boys. So my video and my lesson basically is called Trust and Lean on God. And it's coming out of Proverbs 3 verses 5 through 8. And this is what we're going to be learning today. So what we're going to be learning today is by the time the lesson is over, you will understand how you can trust God and lean on Him no matter how hard it may seem. Reflect on ways how you can trust in God in certain areas in your life. And towards the end of the lesson, hopefully by the time the lesson's over, you have a better understanding of the scriptures. And also there'll be opportunity how you can learn to memorize Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 8. So first, what we're going to do is we're going to watch a 2-minute video. And it's actually an illustration on how you can trust in God. And it's just a 2-minute video, and after the video's over, we're going to have a discussion after that.
Okay, Tracy, I think we forgot to do the share computer sound. We're not hearing the video. There on the share screen menu, there should be like share.
I trust you.
Now, fall back.
Okay. Are you going to catch me?
Don't worry about it.
You got it.
That's the part I'm worried about.
You can do this, okay? Just trust me.
Trust you.
Fall back.
Okay, well, Jesus, I trust you. Yes, I do trust you. I'm going to fall back.
Okay.
That's great.
Let's try this again. Just face this direction and keep your feet planted, all right? Do you trust me?
Yes, Jesus, I trust you.
Now, fall back.
Okay, I'm going to do it.
All right.
I'm really going to do it.
Okay. Good.
Ah! Oh, Jesus, you really got me! I didn't think you were going to get me, but you did!
Oh, that was great!
That was great!
You're ready for level 2!
Level 2, here I come, baby! Woo!
Whoa. Okay, hold it.
Oh, you know what? You're too close. You need to move back.
Ah, right.
Okay.
This one's a little bit different, Laura.
Oh, okay.
Stand here.
Uh-huh.
But face me.
Ooh, forward fall. Okay. I can do that.
Wait.
Whoa.
Okay. Wait for my signal.
Oh, right. The Jesus signal.
Yes. The Jesus signal. Do you trust me?
Yes, Jesus. I trust you so much.
Good. Fall back.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. Especially when you do it.
Seriously?
Of course.
Okay, Jesus. I don't know if you noticed this, but there is nobody over there.
I know it looks that way to you.
It looks that way. It is that way.
You can do this, Laura. Just trust me and fall back.
Jesus, I can't do that.
We can do it together.
I can't.
You can.
I won't.
Okay, so trying to get out of this screen and get back to my PowerPoint. So what we're going to do is, let me go ahead and read the scriptures first. And after I read the scriptures, then we're going to discuss the video. What I would like for you guys to do ahead of time is to have a piece of paper and a pencil handy. So by the time we get to the end of our lesson, there's a little exercise I would like for you guys to do. So just kind of have that handy. Now you can see the bold letters that are red and kind of bold letter. Well, kind of pay attention to these particular words because they will mean something before the lesson is over with. So let me go ahead and read Proverbs 3 verses 5 through 6 for you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Okay, so let's discuss the video now. Well, the Laura in the video, you can see how she can trust the Lord really easily. Can we see how it was so easy for her to trust in the Lord because she can actually see someone behind her? She knew someone's going to catch her. So it's really easy for us to trust God, and we know we can see the end. And on the flip side of that, we see how Laura really had a hard time trusting in God because there was no one behind her. Remember that? And it's kind of hard for us to be like, okay, God, how can I really trust you when I don't see an end result? I don't know what's going on back there. I don't know how it's all going to play a part, but God wanted us to trust him anyway. So it's really hard for her to trust in God and see like, I'm giving up. I can't do it. But there's an illustration in the Bible. There's a lady who had an issue of blood for 12 years, and she had to trust and believe in God. And let's go ahead and read that. And she really had to really crawl through the crowds. As you can see the picture, according to Matthew chapter 9, verse 20 through 22, it says, just in a woman who has suffered for 12 years with a constant bleeding came up behind him, and she touched the fringe of his robe, just the end of his garment. I mean, just think, she had to have that much trust and that much faith to believe that, okay, I heard about this Jesus. I know he's a miracle worker. I know he heals. But she has to have that much trust and believe in God for her own healing. In verse 21, it says, for she thought, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. That's what she was believing for. In verse 22, it says, Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be encouraged. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was healed at that moment. So what I'd like to do is, before we move on, just to give you like a little tidbit of my trust and how I came to trust and believe in God. Just a recent, when I told Dr. Halen to pray for me for a house, I was believing for this house. I saw this house online. And actually, when I found the house online, it says active with contingency. You're like, what does that mean? I asked my realtor. She said, oh, that's because there's other offers on the house. And you shouldn't worry because they have offers already they're planning on accepting, but I really like this house. So I was thinking about getting another realtor because she was like discouraging me. So I said, you know what? Can you just make me an appointment or I can just go and see the house anyway? And that way, if I really like it, I'd be ready to accept a full offer on the house. So like, wow. So luckily she actually got me an appointment to see the house, which she didn't want to. And when she called me back and told me about my appointment, she says, you're not going to believe this, Tracy. The person who had an offer on the house actually backed out. Yes. She said, you're first in line to put an offer on a house. Like, yes. So when I looked at the house, I'm like, you know what? I'm ready to put an offer because I already saw the picture online. I'm ready to put an offer. And 2 days later, guess what, Dr. Halen? Accepted offer. So if I would just walked away, guys, and not believe and trust in God and just listen to my realtor, hey, I probably would not have a house right now. Okay, so let's move on. here is another video. It's called Good For You, and basically it's going to kind of cover verses 7 through 8, just 1 minute long, so it's not really long at all. And we're going to do the same thing. Once I come back, we're going to discuss it real quick. Okay. Here's the video. Hopefully you guys can see it, because somehow it didn't come up, so we're going to do this. And hopefully you guys can see, because I have the video up on my screen. And hopefully you guys can still see it. And give me thumbs up, guys, if you can see the video come up.
It looks like it's loading.
There's a lot of interesting discussion about what's good and what's not good for your health. We all know that vitamins are good. Years ago, sailors would often get a disease named scurvy due to vitamin C deficiency. Not enough vitamin D can cause rickets in children. The bones get weak and soft. When a report came out and said that multivitamins provide little benefit, that caused a bit of a stir in certain circles. Now, what's actually good for you spiritually? Proverbs 3, 7 and 8 says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones." Faith in God has been found to reduce stress, to improve emotional health, and one major medical institution found that monthly church attendance halved the risk of many diseases. It seems the Bible is right. Faith in God is just plain good for you. I'm John Bradshaw for It Is Written. Let's live today by every word.
Awesome. Okay. So, let me go ahead and read Proverbs from verse 3, 7 through 8 for you. And don't forget about those words, guys, again. They're going to play a good part at the end of the lesson. So, 7, 8 says, do not be...
You need a website. Why not do it yourself?
Sorry about that.
With Wix, you can create your own professional website. Choose from hundreds of templates, whether you're a small business owner or an artist.
Sorry about that, guys. So it says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. So let's discuss the video. The video said how God brings nourishment to our body, and how they said that report nourishments and vitamins bring very little nourishment to our body. Well, God told us in Proverbs 7 through 8 that we turn from our evil ways and turn from evil and shun from evil. He will actually bring health to our bones and nourishment to our bodies. And so, as you can see the picture here, according to Proverbs 4, verses 1 through 7, 20 through 22, there's a picture here where Jesus is actually healing these bones. And so, we have to think about if we turn from our ways and let God bring the healing and the nourishment and the health to our bones, and not rely so much on the nourishments that the natural man brings to us, even though that's good, but we get the actual supernatural healing and the actual nourishment to our body that Jesus can bring us. So let's read this together. My children, listen when your father corrects you. Pay attention and learn good judgment, for I am giving you good guidance. Don't turn away from my instructions. For I too, verse 3, was once my father's son, tenderly loved as my mother's only child. My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. And that's what parents always tell us. Listen, listen, listen. We sometimes don't like listening to parents, which we understand that, but God is telling us to listen. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart. For they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body, to your whole body. So listen, children, boys and girls, if we turn from evil, God will bring healing to our body. And we all need that. And we all want that. Okay. So remember that piece of paper I was telling you guys about? So what I want to do is give you guys kind of like 30 seconds, 30 seconds to a minute, to see if you can plug in those words I was telling about earlier. And then we're going to see if who remember, and this is going to help us learn our Bible verses. And so I'll go ahead and give you guys time to do that. Thank you. And give me thumbs up when you guys are ready. Okay, so this is going to be a class participation. Okay, so who can tell me what the first line is? And that's going to be easy.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart.
There you go. And lean not on your own understanding in all your ways. Submit to him, and he will make your paths
straight.
Straight. Good job, guys. So Proverbs 3:7, do not be
wise
in your own eyes. Good job. Fear the Lord and
turn
from evil. Great. This will bring
strength to your body. Strength,
nourishment.
Health. That's okay. Health. You guys, good job to your body. And starts with the N.
Nourishment.
Nourishment to your bones. Great. Good job. So hopefully this will help you guys to help try to give you some Bible memorizations. So plugging in those little keywords and verses would kind of help trigger, okay, what's come before that, what comes next. So just kind of practice that on your own time. Proverbs verses 3, verses 5 through 8. Okay. Here, as the lesson went on, I'm hoping that you guys were able to think about three things in your life that you can bring trust and how to bring trust in God for your life. So basically, before we finished everything at towards the end, there's a 2-minute praise and worship. You know, teenagers, we know we got to get up and get our body moving. And the more repetition that we hear trust in the Lord and lean on God, it would penetrate in your heart. So I need everyone to get up, but not you. You don't have to really get up, but this is to boost the guys up. So I'm going to play another video for you guys. Thank you guys for being so patient with me. And it's really an upbeat song. So if you guys want to join in, sing along, great.
Trusting in the Lord, trusting in the Lord.
Trust in the Lord.
Proverbs 3, 5, 6.
Proverbs 3, 5, and 6.
Your blood flowing and get you to understand and remember memorize those scriptures. And great, guys. So So hopefully by the whole lesson, throughout the lesson, you can like, oh, you know what? There are three things in my life that I can start believing, trusting God for. And I know I can't see the end result, but I can start believing and trusting in God. Well, I have three things that I'm believing God for, so I go ahead and start. One is I'm believing that everything goes smoothly with my home buying process. Two is after I graduate from college, I'm hoping that God would open up doors for me for a really good job. And three, I'm hoping that me and my boys would continue to grow into God and to do what God has called all three of us to do. And so by me going first, and hopefully you guys have a understanding that and know that you have three things you believe in God for. So hopefully before the lesson is over with or tonight, that you start writing those three things out too. So I'd like to close in prayer. And so everyone who's bowed your heads, I'd like to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the God of the impossible. You can do anything. We want to trust in your ability and not our own, Lord. Teach us to continue to trust in you during the difficult times in our lives. Help us to focus on you and your power, Lord. Lord, our responsibility is to carefully read and trust and obey. Today, we pray that we will begin to trust and lean on you in every area of our life, Lord. We declare our faith in your ability to fulfill your promise to us, Father. You say you will fight for us and win the battles in our life. Your word is true today and forever. I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys.
Amen. Okay. Tracy, I think, did you hit stop share on your end?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so that means I should have that ability here. There we go. Let me go up here. Yes, okay, I have the ability to share screen. Okay, but we don't necessarily need that right here unless we need to look at the Bible text, although I don't know if we really need to look at the Bible text after that lesson. Okay, we probably have pretty well in mind by now. We demonstrated that we almost have it memorized. Okay, let's like we did last week, you're going to remind everyone, and those of you that are watching the recording, I'm going to ask that you turn off the recording and you go up online to the discussion forum and you write comments about strong points and weak points that you saw, then come back to the recording and listen to our give and take here. That way, you're not tempted just to repeat what someone else in our oral feedback here live. You're not tempted just to repeat what we said, but actually give some really good thought to the presentation itself. So again, if you're watching the recording, I'd like you to pause the recording, go up to the discussion forum, fill in some things. Then you can always go back and revise after you listen to us through the rest of the recording. Okay, so let's talk about strong points, things that you thought were really strong, not only about the presentation itself, but about the content of the presentation. So the speech event and the content, we want to make sure we're covering both of those. Who wants to throw out the first, attaboy, good job type thing?
I'll go.
All righty.
Well, Tracy, I had no idea that you were so, like, you're so quiet in class that I was like, whoa, my God.
Who took our Tracy? What have you done with our Tracy?
So that was really cool. I loved your energy that you had, and especially like presenting to young teenagers or teenagers. You definitely have to bring the energy. So that was really cool.
Well, would your husband like having her in your church plant?
For sure.
Okay, to work with the young people, yeah. All righty. Anybody else? Laura, I guess that would be, yeah, Laura. Laura, you have anything you'd like to highlight?
I liked that your content was very age appropriate.
Yeah. And Laura's in education, so that's different than if I said it. She actually does the education thing for a living, as opposed to a college professor that just kind of pretends like he's an educator.
I think you'll hear that in my comments as we go along, too.
Yeah. Faking out people for 32 years. Okay. I liked in very creative in how you the central word is trust, and using the video is very effective for demonstrating what trust looks like without explaining it. Okay, you explained it through the video, and I thought that was very age appropriate. I mean, that'd be age appropriate really for about any age because of the video dynamic. You had clear objectives at the beginning, and you broke up the passage effectively into two major components. I really liked the fact that there's like a theological and educational underpinning to what you were doing, which is very simple. I don't know if you necessarily thought it through in these terms, but what came to mind for me, Tracy, was that your lesson demonstrated a belief and a trust that if people simply are put into contact with Scripture, that the Holy Spirit can use Scripture to do the Spirit's work. So all through this, it appears, you know, as you stated, one of your objectives was that we simply learn this passage. And you use multiple methods to reinforce the wording of the passage. I mean, we had the highlighted text. We had the fill in the blank. We had the music video at the end. We had the quizzing of the students. So we had all those multiple means of learning the text, which also gave you a means to assess our learning of the text. So I thought that was a very strong point in your presentation. I think somewhere along the line, I've been around for a while, somewhere in the 70s and the 80s, as we move from the 70s into the 80s, somewhere in the middle 80s, churches got away from the concept of memorizing Scripture. The idea was you got to have, you know, life application, and it's, you know, you don't memorize stuff. Learn what it's about. And what we forgot is that especially young people can memorize things, and if it's in your head, at some point you'll figure out how to apply it. But if it's not in your head, you're never going to figure out how to apply it, because you can't apply that which you do not know. And so I think you did a good job of saying one central objective is just, we're going to learn this passage. If you were to point for areas for improvement for Tracy, if Tracy were to do this again, and she should, okay, in various contexts, what might you suggest she could do to improve what is already a good product.
Can you guys hear me? Sorry, I took my headphones out. Okay. I said that I think you just forgot to put the slideshow up because it wasn't showing like the big slideshow. And then for like any materials that we need, I would recommend that those instructions come before we get started or provide the pre-printed like fill in the blank things, which I know, you know, we're video and stuff, so you couldn't do that. But that's something that you might want to do is just provide the pre-printed fill in the blanks.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Lori? Lori, do you have any comments?
Yeah, just my only thing was at the beginning, I would have liked to heard you read the scripture. Like I was writing down what scripture it was and it was on the screen. And I liked how you pointed out that these words are going to be important, but I got busy writing down those three words that I don't think I really read what your scripture was.
By scripture, you're talking about the wording of the scripture or the scripture reference?
The scripture, like at the beginning, she had the trust. Well, see, I just wrote down the three words now.
Okay.
I wrote down trust, heart, and straight really quick. And then when I looked up to read the scripture, I don't think that you read it, but that could have been me missing it because I was so focused on those three words to get them down.
Yeah, actually, they read the scriptures before. I pointed out the bolded letters there in red, and I did actually read the scriptures after that.
All right. Anything else that you would point to for areas of improvement?
Dr. Halen, I can't see any areas that Tracy needed to improve on. I mean, it was very engaging. Wow, you really interacted with the passage. And I think if it were done like in a room of students or children, it would cause them to be active and also engage. I mean, because, you know, rather than just teaching, it was an attention getter that would probably make them want to dig deeper and find out what it means to trust God and how can I trust God and how to increase my faith. So, I mean, outstanding job.
All right, I jot down a couple things. Again, this is, if you're going to do it again, this might make it even better, you know, improving on a good thing. He had the one-minute clip where the speaker talked about, you know, this medical study, you know, church attendance once a month, and that kind of almost makes me chuckle. Okay, if that's once a month, hey, what good things am I doing for myself? being a regular attender, you know, that, you know, because once a month is considered like your regular attendance. But I would like you in the future to maybe gather more data, because there's a lot of data out there that points to the connections between church attendance and the spiritual disciplines, for instance, praying, fasting. The one that's gotten the most publicity is praying. How church attendance and spiritual disciplines, and among spiritual disciplines is fellowship, how they do contribute to good health and longevity. I mean, it is interesting to see some of the studies that are out there that regular church attenders have a lower rate of heart attack, they have a lower rate of stroke, a lower rate of many, many maladies that are often associated with stress. And to me, I think that is significant. If you got stats on stress-related illnesses and how church people, for lack of a better term, people that are spiritually connected tend to suffer these things in a lower incident rate. Now, you're at, you know, for teenagers, you may need to, you know, obviously couch it in different terms. I think that is interesting and significant. I like to joke around. There are some things that are interesting. There are some things that are significant. But when you find something that's interesting and significant, you've really got something. It has always fascinated me. And you have people in medical science that have done these studies. And, of course, some of them will attribute it to, you know, placebo effects with prayer and things like that. And then obviously you have believers among these researchers who say, well, let's not factor out the power of God and that connection with God in and of itself brings, you know, greater health. So I'd like you to do some further research and be able to present some more, you know, factoids, results of studies where, you know, living a godly life seems to contribute to longevity and health. And of course, there's some obvious things with that. Okay, if you're not messing around with drugs and alcohol all the time, you're probably got a better shot at living a healthier life than if you're you know, doing drugs and alcohol. If you are constantly working at helping other people, you're probably staying out of places where injury and getting shot might occur, you know, things like that. I would challenge you also to ask the question, what does X look like? You know, we as believers, especially those of us, and I say those of us, and I don't know how many of us are in this group of us that I'm about to describe, and that's what I call lifers. People like me, who mama brought us to church when, you know, I showed up to church when I was 9 days old the first time, you know, probably haven't missed two consecutive Sundays more than three times in my 57 years. I'm a lifer, okay? Those of us that are lifers tend to throw around biblical and theological phrases as if everyone understands what they mean. We throw around perfectly good biblical metaphors. See, in the day, the trad section of Senior Bible Seminar, I'm trying to think. Oh, the phrase was bearing fruit. Somebody had a passage, it was the cursing of the fig tree, a passage in Matthew, and was also bringing in the passage in Luke 13 where Jesus tells the parable about the tree that's not bearing fruit, and the servant wants to cut it down, and the master says, no, we'll give it another year. If it bears fruit, good. If it doesn't after a year, then we're going to cut it down. And the speaker, the student, was consistently talking about our need to bear fruit. And then I asked the question of him, so what does this phrase bear fruit mean? So what are you referring? You know, that's Christianese. It's biblical language, but it's a metaphor that needs to be explained. And so I would encourage you to ask the what does X look like question. What does leaning on your own understanding, when what does that look like when I'm doing it? And what does trusting in God look like when I'm doing it? What does it look like and what doesn't it look like? There's often a good question to ask. And if you can then bring in Bible passages, life experiences that amplify, that clarify, that illustrate what this nice biblical phrase means, or this nice theological truism that we throw out, what it means, I think that's an effective and important thing to do. Especially with teenagers, this concept of not leaning on your own understanding. Remember, teenagers are handed a very tough task. They have been handed the task of learning how to think abstractly after thinking in a concrete way for so many years. And then they start developing the ability to think abstractly, and we start pushing on them the think critically. Well, if I'm a teenager and I'm being told to think through things, if I'm being told to think critically, if I'm being told that I need to learn how to make decisions, and then I come to Proverbs 3, and it says, not to lean on my own understanding, how do I put that together with this cultural and parental push to think critically and to learn to think for myself? So those two phrases, lean not on your own understanding and think for yourself, to the adolescent eyes, might seem to be in contradiction. I don't think they are I was getting ready to say in any way, shape, or form, but that may be overstatement. I don't think they're in contradiction, but they need, for the average person, they need to think through how do they go together. I think teenagers especially have to kind of figure out, and probably the key on that, as I'm thinking about it tonight, is lean not on your own understanding, that there is this element that even though I'm learning to think for myself, making my own decisions, I'm making those decisions as they are informed by what God has revealed about what is good living and what is wise thought and wise action. So I would encourage you, that's a long way of getting to this. I would encourage you, if you do this again, your time on this was only about 19 and a half minutes, so I could easily envision you with a youth group, when you got 40 minutes, an hour, really going to town on this. What does it mean to lean, not to lean on my own understanding, but to trust in God? And how does that relate to making my own decisions, thinking things through? How does that work? Because it doesn't really come naturally. And yet the teen years are the years when they're learning how to do this. And of course, as we all know, some people never really get beyond that stage, spiritually and ethically, in their ethical formulation. Any other comments that any of you have?
I have a comment that I like to ask you in the class. My first mind was, I was going to bring my, the little realtor story that I had about how God blessed me to get the house. I was going to do that at the introduction. You know how Stephen did his in the beginning? I was going to do mine in the beginning, but I kind of forgot about it. And I kind of did it not midways, but part of the top half of my lesson. Did that flow with that being right there, or should I have talked about that in the beginning?
I think it was good where you had it, because it provided the illustration for what you were talking about. I think if you presented it too early, then it would have kind of like been an illustration without information.
I think that's a good point, Robin. Yeah, I think it probably was well placed. That does that. You bringing up the story, I think your story actually also opens the door to talk with young people about how does learning about God's will in my life, what are some of the ways that works? Because part of this trusting in the Lord and leaning not on our own understanding, what the New Testament verbiage for that is kind of like discerning the will of God in my life. There's elements of discerning God's will. And so how does not leaning on my own understanding, but instead trusting in God, trusting in the Lord, what does that look like if you get this call and you find out that the financing doesn't go through or whatever? I think we've all been there where we've been so excited about something and it looks like the pieces are being put in place and we think we're perceiving the hand of God in something, and then suddenly it doesn't happen. And for some, that raises a theological crisis. For others, it raises, well, maybe I interpreted what was going on incorrectly. Maybe God was doing something else. And I think, I guess what I'm yammering about is it might be good to have an accompanying story as you're talking about this process. I'm in the middle of this process, and I'm learning to trust in God. It looks like it's working out the way I want it to. Don't know yet. By the way, there was another time in my life when I had to learn to trust in God because things didn't happen the way I had it charted out for me, and I learned that God's still in control, and it's probably a good thing that I'm not.
Actually, I had a story for that particular what you're talking about, because there was one house that I put an offer on and they accepted it. But then my realtor came back and said another person came and offered more money. I'm like, no. So actually, I had a story. I didn't know how much time I had because I wasn't really keeping track. Yeah. So I was going to say that and then say the other. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Again, we always have the artificiality of the time limit here. That's less than what would be in just about any teaching circumstance. Now for a sermon, it may be just about the right time limit. So sometimes what we're doing here is saying let's think through how we would go about this, because that's part of the learning in this assignment is learning how to evaluate what you already have. How would I improve it becomes a step for how do I create 15 other lessons using the same thought process. New time was obviously an element there, but I think for an improved thing, it'd be good to have that tandem story. Good.
Sorry to interrupt, but I was going to mention the same thing, especially working with kids. I work with kids that have a lot of language processing problems. So in word studies, like when we're talking about, like say we were talking about trust, we would have to talk about what trust, and then we would have to talk about what trust is not, so they can know what it is and what it's not, and then kind of balance between the two. And I think that in doing what Dr. Halen was suggesting, I think would cover that, what it is and what it's not.
Yeah, contrast is a great teacher. Yeah, what it is and what it's not is elemental. I mean, you think about it, that's pretty much how we learn language. I remember my niece when she was little, and my kids when they were little, observing how they learn what, you know, when they're doing their first words. I remember my niece Sarah, you know, learned what a kitty was. And everything was kitty, was a kitty. You know, if it had four legs and was ambulating around, it was a kitty. Well, no, that's not a kitty. That's a doggy. That's different than a kitty. Okay, kitty, dog, okay. Then, you know, my sister-in-law parents were farmers, and so there were kitties and doggies. Then there were sheep. And when she was in that phase, I'll remember it like it's yesterday. Taking her to the zoo, okay? And the first time she ever saw a lion, okay, her eyes get, you know, really big, and she goes, kitty. you know, okay, yes, that's a kitty, but it's a special type of kitty. So it's not this, it's that. That's the way we learn language. We start distinguishing this is walking. This is running. This is walking. This is swimming. We start with something, then this is not that. It's something else. What is it? And we probably need to do a lot more definition at all age levels in the church. Because, again, we speak in Christianese in church. And I think not only do non-believers, our visitors, who don't have a church background, not only do they not understand what the blazes we're talking about, often we don't even understand what we're talking about. We're just throwing around these words like holy and righteousness, sanctification. And I dare say most people really couldn't define those words if you ask them to define them or describe what they are. So defining words is an important thing to do and a constructive thing to do in any age setting. I told you last week, I believe it was, that this is one of my favorite times of year because I get to see your creativity and I get to learn things about you as I see you in action in a different setting. So tonight we did learn that Tracy Keaton is not always that quiet. That quiet person.
When I lived in Texas, I did minister to kids and teenagers all the time. So I'm used to being in front in a pulpit.
Yeah.
Working with tons of kids, so I'm used to being energetic, so this is nothing new for me, and I have energetic boys, so I enjoy that.
Yeah. How old are your boys?
They're 11, I'm sorry, gosh, they're 12 and 13.
Well, they were 11 and 10 at one time. Then you had to walk out to go get a gallon of milk or something. You came back and they were older. That's the way it works. All right. But yeah, I get to learn a lot about you, and I get to see your creativity, and we've seen that now the last couple weeks in very, very strong ways. And again, I think, you know, that we've seen a lesson that can be replicated for a lot of us. We work with teenagers, we work with children, and so there may be something that we can steal for the future. Because we're here tonight. Okay, if that's kind of it, we'll make a couple announcements. Don't forget about the assessment test, the ABHE Bible exam and the DCC Bible test. A couple of you have already taken care of those, or you've taken care of one of them. You want to get on that. Don't let time slip away from you completely before you take care of that. Those of you who have submitted your evaluation of the student paper. I project doing those probably this weekend. If I were you, I wouldn't necessarily anticipate that getting that back anytime sooner than maybe Friday. Friday is a possibility on that. If I have a really good day of grading tomorrow afternoon, maybe it might get as early as Thursday. But just hang in there. I'm caught up on all the paper grading in this class. So for a lot of you, all you got left is doing the assessments, doing your presentation, and if you haven't already done the evaluation of the student paper, to get that submitted to me. So if you haven't done that yet, get that submitted. That way, when I get to it this weekend, I can roll it out for you. I think that'll do it for tonight. So have a great week, and let me know if you have any questions about or any difficulties with any of the things that I just mentioned. Just let me know, and I'll try to help you. So have a good week.
I have a quick question for you, Doctor.
Oh, sure.
Remember my oral presentation that I just did, that I emailed it to you instead of uploading on Moodle? I just want you to be aware of that. Because remember, I wasn't able to upload on Moodle because the file was too big.
But I did. It's on the course site.
Right.
Is that?
Yeah, okay. I mean, you have.
You're just.
But it's not in Moodle for you to grade through the Moodle. You know how you upload your assignment and you submit it the way.
I see where you're going with that. Well, yeah. I have possession of it, so you're fine. You're fine.
And also, you have my student evaluation. I did that like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I haven't graded any of those yet.
Got that.
So,
okay.
Yeah, I have.
Good.
I have it. All righty. Good evening. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.